The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite cun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. More on the reason he's not here. He's taking care of business. No vacation for Mr. Starnes, no sir. I'm coming to you, though, from my home base at Iowa's home for the Todd Starnes Show, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And as always, a privilege to speak with you today, Starnes Nation. We are in the Liberty University studio and taking your calls as always at 844-747-8868. Lots of guests, but plenty of time for your calls. In the spirit of Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. I was listening to the program yesterday, and I know there were a number of you waiting to get on when Todd simply ran out of time. The show's only 3 hours long. So if you were on hold yesterday and would like to pick up the conversation, we encourage you to do so at 844-747-8868. There is an entity called Talkers Magazine. Now, it's Talkers because there's websites and emails and everything else, but those of us of a certain age know it as Talkers Magazine, and it's the thing that helps bond folks who do interview programs, spoken word, talk shows, etc. And their annual conference is going on today in New York State. And Mr. Starnes is there not only in his role as a host and participating on panels, but as a small business owner, a radio station owner. And so while he is there, and actually anybody who is anybody is at this event. I mean, this is where the talk radio world goes to congregate. So all the best and the brightest talk show hosts in America are there today. And that explains why I'm here. I'm not part of that. No, that's not fair. Todd was gracious enough to invite me to join the Starnes Media Group team each of the last 2 years. But as I said, if I go, then who's going to do radio? Well, you people are all there hobnobbing and conferencing and all that. So Todd is taking care of business at the Talkers meeting, and we'll be back on Monday with a pretty impressive guest list that I can see already. Not too shabby today here on this program either. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll speak live with Judge Jeanine Pirro of the Fox News Channel. You, of course, watch her every day on The Five, but her new book has been out for, I think, just about 10 days. It's called Crimes Against America. Judge Jeanine Pirro live right here in less than a half hour to talk about crimes against America. Before this three-hour fun fest is over, we'll also hear from news analyst Wendy Patrick. She has a new book out called Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. And we'll talk some news of the day with her as well. When Dr. Wendy Patrick joins us in hour number three, we'll also hear from Robert Bork Jr. of the Antitrust Education Project, and we'll be talking about the legacy of his late father, the legendary jurist Robert Bork, who, of course, was wrongly denied a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. That conversation coming up in Hour 3. And we will also, before we're done, speak with U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. So all that and your calls as well at 844-747-8868. So the Senate last night passed what is called the Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023. Now, the one thing that I am sure you folks in Starnes Nation already know, it is that the names given to legislation often not only don't have much to do with the legislation, but it seems it's the opposite of what it claims to be. For example, the Inflation Reduction Act had nothing to do with reducing inflation, had a lot to do with other things that fit an agenda. So forgive me if I use quotes when I call it the Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023, because it has nothing to do with fiscal responsibility. Let's start with the fact, and again, you know what was in this. Todd has gone over it. I don't need to do it again, but there were a few things that just really stuck in my craw. For example, the debt ceiling, the debt limit. That was the whole reason for doing something, right? We are up against that debt limit, and we had to get it increased. It's not increased, according to this bill. It's flat out suspended. Now, here's what the difference is. If they had increased it, there still would have been an upper end limit. But now, as soon as the president signs this legislation, our country's debt limit will be flat out suspended, erased, not a point of conversation until January 1st of 2025. The Republicans originally had talked about increasing the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion. These numbers are so fantastically and grossly large. I mean, monopoly money doesn't even begin to cover it. This is well past having a hotel on the boardwalk in Monopoly. By passing a flat-out suspension, this means we could have the debt go up, conservative figures, $4 trillion. So we went from the Republicans grudgingly upping it to $1.5 trillion, to winding up with a full suspension, and with the Democrats in charge in the executive branch in the Senate, you can expect that by the time we ring in the new year 2025, that debt will have increased by $4 trillion. So good work on holding the line on spending there. The fact that they picked January 1st of 2025 was also just disgusting in two reasons. One, they kicked the can down the road so they don't have to make a tough choice in an election year. Good work out of you people. Good work out of you leaders to say we are going to not have this be an issue during our campaigns because, as I have told you and anyone who would listen for years, the number one goal of a politician is to get elected. The number two goal is to get reelected. And so the uniparty in Washington is at it again. Let's make sure that we all agree to kick the can down the road so we don't have to deal with it in November of 2024. That part's bad enough. But by saying January 1st of 2025, the issue is going to be resolved by a lame duck Congress because the new one doesn't take the oath until after January 1st. And potentially a lame duck president. Remember how the Republicans in the House, the new majority in the House, just squawked like crazy last December when Republicans in the Senate went along with a deal to get the budget through instead of waiting a few weeks until Republicans took control? You remember how those members of Congress said how horrible it was to leave things to a lame duck session? They just did the same thing. It's going to be this same body of members of Congress debating this issue with half of them packing boxes to leave. and potentially a president who, if he by then knows what day it is, could be the lamest of lame ducks. This is not the kind of Christmas present we need in 2024 or way to ring in the new year in 2025. Again, this is abdication of responsibility. Yeah, the IRS is going to lose $21 billion out of the 80, so they still get something like 75%. And, oh wait, they can spend it on whatever they want. Remember that $80 billion was to upgrade technology and add those 87,000 IRS agents? All right, so this bill cuts some of the money, but it does not say how it is to be spent. So the IRS could say, you know what? We're pushing all that money toward new agents. You can't do anything about it. Now, I had an analyst tell me, oh, but the IRS system is so antiquated. They'll definitely use money for technology. Yeah, says who? Why do they need to? If they can weaponize a force of agents to go after certain people. There are many more things, but you get the basic idea here of things that are just staggering in terms of, I'll just say poor governance. I was going to say stupidity, but I'm going to say poor governance. We're going to take a break in a moment, and I'll continue this on the other side, but I want you during the break, in addition to listening very intently to these messages, I want you to remember back to the Peanuts comic strip. You remember every fall, Lucy would come in with a football, and she would try to get Charlie Brown to kick the football. And she'd pull it away at the last minute, and then he would fly in the air and land on his back with a thud. And every year she'd make promises about how this year was going to be different, Charlie Brown. I won't pull the football away. And he'd guppy right into it, and sucker that he was, he'd land on his back again with a resounding thud. I thought as this, quote, Fiscal Responsibility Act made its way through the system, I was reminded of Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown. But then I started thinking a little more about it. I'm not sure who Charlie Brown is. I'll explain what I mean in a moment when we continue from the Liberty University studio. Join the conversation, won't you? 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is The Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation from the Liberty University studio. I have some more to say on this debt ceiling bill, but frankly, I'd rather hear what William from Statesville, North Carolina has to say. He called into the Stern Show. William, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jeff, I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit. I don't know if you know the answer to it or not, but is there anything that we can do as individual voters on maybe possibly overturning this bill in the near future before 25? I know that it's been suspended to where at least we can't talk about it, can't do anything about it or whatever, but if we get that man back in office, and I think you know who I'm talking about, that will help. But is there out? You know, I tried to reach out to my North Carolina representative the other day. Todd encouraged all of us listeners to do that,
yes.
And I didn't get to him. But you know, we were trying to get it overturned, and obviously that didn't happen. But is there anything that you know of that we maybe can do as individuals?
I hate to be such a downer, William, but there's not. The thing is to know how people voted and vote them out the next opportunity if you don't agree with what they did. And I will tell
right.
you, I am really tired. And I'm in a state with four members of Congress, all Republicans, four members of the House. Three of them are in their second term each. One is a freshman. So they're still pretty new at it. I've got two U.S. senators. They're Republicans. Every one of those people, William, voted in favor of the bill. And usually with news releases that talked about how the horrible spending in Washington is something we just can't sustain. Well, here's my problem. I am really tired of Republicans talking about government spending being out of control and then voting for a suspension of the debt limit. I just do not understand how we can square those two things in terms of overturning it. The only way you overturn it is to have a new law passed, because even though these people voted and said, can't talk about it, as you quite accurately said, this is the topic that shall not be mentioned, they could introduce a bill, they could pass it, but what do you think the chances that this gang is going to pass a bill to rescind what they just did in the dead of night?
I don't know. I don't know, Jeff. Those clowns up there, we've got to get some of them out of office, that's for sure. You know, if nothing else, Donald Trump gets back up in office, I've just got one thing to suggest to him, that he draw a paycheck this time, if nothing else, to help him buy the good goody headache powders putting up with all those clowns up there. it's nuts, and I just didn't know, maybe, you know, because I don't claim to know that much about politics, but, you know, that's just it. We do need politics in this country, as crazy as that may sound, but this thing that they want to call politics that's going on in Washington, D.C. is not politics. It's called corruption.
Well, that's just it. You know enough about issues. You know enough about common sense. What we call politics these days, you're exactly right, William. It's corruption. And, you know, I don't have the goodies headache powders nearby, but you hear that? That's my bottle of antacids that I keep right near here, because every time I talk about this topic, it absolutely it just drives me crazy. You know what? One of the things that now, I heard Mr. Trump, he was in my state of Iowa. We're here in the free state of Iowa, and he was here this week, and when he was asked about the bill, I'm going to take one step back here. Early on, he talked to Kevin McCarthy, early on in this negotiation at the end, and McCarthy said Trump told him, just get a good deal, Kevin. And when Trump was asked about it by an interviewer in Iowa, he said, it is what it is. That is not very encouraging, is it? He's not very happy, do you think?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time to take my call and keep up the good work and the good fight in your state. Now, I know that the state of North Carolina just recently passed the 747 law for the bill election, and that will probably help, maybe if nothing else, the potential fraud that they claim never happened in 2020, but we all know that it did. And but anyway, you know, just little things that we can do as individuals, local government, and get some good people up there in Washington, D.C. That's what we need to do.
William, thanks for calling in from North Carolina. I appreciate it greatly. Call back again anytime. I'm sure Todd would love to talk with you again. 844-747-8868 is how you reach us here in the Liberty University studio. If you go to my station website, KXEL.com, and Grace has put this on the live show blog at ToddStarnes.com as well. I put a poll question up yesterday, and I'd love to have you vote on it. And here's the question. What chance is there that Kevin McCarthy is still Speaker of the House by Independence Day? Pretty simple. KXEL.com/poll or go to ToddStarnes.com and the live show blog. And Grace has put a link up there, so you can just click on that. But I'd like to know what you think. What are the odds that Kevin McCarthy is still Speaker of the House by Independence Day after all of this. And again, I have not forgotten Lucy and Charlie Brown. I'll come back to that before we're done this hour. Judge Jeanine Pirro, though, joins us live in just 5 minutes. Stick around. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Well, I finally had to cut back on the barbecue and the sweet tea, and now I'm starting to lose weight thanks to a great new product called Calitrin. Now, Calitrin contains an amino acid called glycine, which increases serotonin levels, and that makes me sleep better at night, and it also helps me lose weight. It is safe and natural, better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and believe it or not, glowing skin, and who doesn't like glowing skin? Calitrin is good for you. You're giving your body back what it needs. Calitrin is not a quick fix, but it is a long-term solution for you to take the weight off and keep it off. And get this, it's 100% safe. So even if you're on medications, there are no drugs or stimulants, and that's what makes Calitrin so different. So give them a call right now. Do what I did, 833-TOP-LOSS. Or log on to toploss.com and use the promo code Todd. That's 833-TOP-LOSS, promo code Todd.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. Awaiting a call in from Judge Jeanine Pirro. If she can make that call, we'll put her on and talk about her new book, Crimes Against America. In the meantime, news that just broke not long ago, and I'm sure you'll all feel that the Republic will be much safer now. Liz Cheney is not ruling out a run for president in 2024. I should have asked for the breaking news music on that. She's now going around the country supporting Democrats and was speaking at a policy conference in Michigan and said that she would not run as a Republican. No, certainly not. But she is determined to deny Donald Trump the White House, and she is not ruling anything out. Well, there you go, people. There's the answer. Start your draft Liz Cheney movement. She probably is the charter member of that and perhaps the sole member of that, come to think of it. Also saw some news here from the Associated Press. The Justice Department says it will not charge former Vice President Mike Pence over the handling of classified documents. Now, obviously, the Vice President will be launching his official campaign for president in my state of Iowa next Wednesday. He's doing a CNN town hall, I think, that same night. So Pence will not face criminal charges. Now, two things come to mind on that in terms of why. One, because he did nothing wrong. That's probably the number one reason why he will not face charges. Number two, his name is not Trump. And we have a very different standard for people whose name happens to be Trump as opposed to anything else. Biden, for example. Couple of notes from the news. All right, let's go back to Charlie Brown and Lucy. I used to think, or I was thinking early on in this, that Lucy was the Democrats, pulling the football away from the naive new speaker, Kevin McCarthy, who plays the Charlie Brown character here. Because I tell you, when you think about what the House passed, the bill they actually passed, it's sort of like Democrats grabbed Kevin McCarthy, turned him upside down, and shook him for lunch money with the kind of deal that we wound up getting. Well, we'll talk about that in a few moments, but let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we are joined by Judge Jeanine Pirro of the Fox News Channel. Her brand new book, Crimes Against America, go to judgejbook.com, judgejbook.com for more. Judge Jeff Stein in Iowa filling in for Todd Starnes. Good to talk to you today. How are you?
Well, it's great to talk to you. And by the way, you can get the book in any bookstore or Amazon or wherever else you get books. But judgejbook.com, you can get a signed one. So we've got a lot of them out there.
Oh, that's outstanding. And other books from Winning Team Publishing as well. You and I spoke about the book as it was coming out on my program in Iowa, but tell the national audience why this book, Crimes Against America, at this time.
Well, I think that anyone who has a half a brain can see that, you know, America, the one, as Ronald Reagan called her, that shining city on the hill, is suffering from a complete breakdown of the fundamentals that our founding fathers decided was essential to the creation of this great nation. And we're witnessing it every day. And the book is almost a chronology of the news as we see it every day. For example, you know, we got the Durham report a couple weeks ago, and it kind of came out with a, well, whatever. But it explained to us that Hillary Clinton made up the Russia hoax in order to get the press off her back regarding that email scandal she was enveloped in. She created the Russia collusion hoax in the hopes of making sure that she would be elected president and that Donald Trump would be defeated. Now, that is one of the most outrageous, harmful things that has happened to this nation, where families were not talking to each other. The nation was split for 4 years, whether or not that President Trump was a Putin puppet or a Russian ally. And Hillary Clinton just gets away with it. And no one is calling her out on it. She made up the whole Russian collusion hoax. And she had the mainstream media, along with the FBI under Jim Comey, willing to play the game with her, willing to go to a FISA court and create a fake dossier with a fake affidavit to get a warrant to violate the Fourth Amendment rights of an American citizen, to then spy on a president of the United States, on a candidate, and then the president. If that isn't what they do in third world countries, I don't know what is. But in addition to that, what we've got in this country is a crime scene. This country is being taken down by criminals. And in the book, Crimes Against America, I talk about the different charges. For example, the breach of security, the breach of sovereignty, where our southern border is open for an invasion. Not just an invasion and a surge, but an invasion being aided and abetted by the Biden administration, where we've had 5 million people come in the last 2 years who demand entry, and we accede to their demands, give them education, medication, housing, whatever they want. We don't know who the heck they are. And even a federal court had to stop Joe Biden 2 weeks ago and said, hey, you can't just release these people en masse into the interior. At least give them an alien registration number so we can, you know, we know who they are. The Biden administration isn't doing that. Why? Whether or not they want to change this country, whether or not they realize they've lost the heartland, and they need to get people beholden to Joe Biden and the Democrats so that, you know, they can maintain power. But this is all about power, and it's the takedown of law and order. And all that other stuff may not affect your listeners, but what affects them every day is the fact that there is cashless bail, criminals are being released as soon as they commit crimes, the jails are being emptied out, the prisons are being emptied out by people on the left, George Soros-funded prosecutors are not prosecuting, and as a result of that, your family is in danger. As a result of that, you've got to take the law in your own hands. So it is a nightmare, and that's just the half of the book.
Crimes Against America, the new book by Judge Jeanine Pirro. Get it wherever you get your good books. Signed copies available at judgejbook.com. She joins us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the sort of story that, if it were submitted to a publisher as a piece of fiction 5 years ago, the publisher would have rejected it as too fanciful. It's that frightening, is it not?
Well, it is very frightening. And, you know, what we all went through COVID, and, you know, our schools were closed as the government kept giving the teachers and the teachers union and the schools billions of dollars. But every metric that was set up by Randy Weingarten and the American Federation of Teachers was to close the school. The public schools didn't open up, but you can be damn sure they were studying quantum physics in China and they were studying trigonometry in Russia. But the Catholic schools were open, the Lutheran schools, the charter schools, they're all open, but the public schools were closed. And think of the damage to our kids, the depression, the psychological, emotional failing, the suicide, the drugs, and the fact that academically they're not going to be able to compete in the global world that they're confronted with. This is a takedown of our republic by the people on the left, and it's by the people in power. And if you don't see it, then you're blind.
And there is no retribution. There's no accountability. I mean, I know when I went to law school, if a judge said to someone, "This is my order, you abide by it," well, that's the way it went. This is the problem. We have these people who are not held accountable, and they therefore feel they can grab even more power. They just become more emboldened by the day.
Well, they're not being held accountable, and they know they're not going to be held accountable because that's not the way the system works for them. You look at the Biden. Joe Biden and his family are an organized criminal enterprise. Yeah, you know, I've been a prosecutor, a judge, and a DA for 3 decades. Yeah. I've run for office 5 times. This is my wheelhouse. I know of what I speak. And when you've got a vice president of the United States who goes around the world and then the son follows up with a garbage bag to put millions in, we've got a real problem. No one's prosecuting it. When a vice president his son makes $10 million, his son doesn't put it in his account. Now, why not, you ask? Because they can't show that kind of money. So they have to give it to the wife, the brother, the ex-wife, the lover, the widow who's now the lover. I mean, the whole family. $10 million is not that easy to hide. But the banks found it, and the suspicious activity reports by the Department of the Treasury made it clear that they were involved in an activity that was illegal. And Joe Biden lied and told us, "No, I know nothing about my son's overseas business activity," except Joe Biden went in the front door, wrapped in the American flag, and introduces his son, who then collects with all the cash. And why would he lie? Why is it so hard to say, my son does a lot of business overseas, I'm proud of him? No, they lied because it was consciousness of guilt. They lied because they knew that they were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. And that's why, Hunter Biden had to pay $2.5 million in back taxes. And by the way, anyone that I know who's had to pay back taxes in that amount ends up in jail. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice can't figure out how to charge him with lying on a pistol permit application, which pistol ended up in a garbage can near a school that the Secret Service ultimately retrieved. This is a corrupt administration. If Joe Biden is so anti-gun, he filed charges and make sure that America was confident that justice is blind. But justice is no longer blind in America, and that's why I wrote the books Crimes Against America, which, as you say, you can get anywhere. But it's a collection of charges, perjury, aiding and abetting criminal behavior, the organized criminal enterprise, the breach of sovereignty, and the fact that this country is no longer the shining city on the hill. It just isn't. And we've got China spying on us, and China has given Hunter Biden billions. So you figure out why we're getting lithium batteries from China and why we're not relying on fossil fuels here. We could create the lithium batteries here, but they're creating coal plants to make the lithium batteries, and our coal plants are being closed. And make no mistake, the polluted air from China is coming over here. We don't live in an isolated world. It's the same air we breathe.
Is there a sense? Well, it is, and you've got this president saying, "I don't know anything about my son's business dealings, but gee, look at the money that showed up siphoned off into my bank account." And again, you just the fact that they don't acknowledge parentage and grandparentage of this poor girl in Arkansas, and it goes on and on. But what is necessary, Judge, to turn it around? What is necessary after knowledge, of course, which you provide in the book Crimes Against America? How do we get it back?
Well, I think the way you get it back is you recognize that your vote is very important when it comes to things like district attorney. You've got to make sure that you don't have someone who is an insurance lawyer who wants to be the DA, because George Soros is funding these people. They don't know the first thing about prosecuting. They don't know the first thing about making sure that criminals suffer the consequences of their acts. You've got to make sure that when people vote in the school board elections, that they get their tail out there and find out everything they can. When they vote for judges, find out what they can. That, you know, parents, we learned in Loudoun County, Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, the governor, is a perfect example of what can happen when parents get outraged because the school boards and the teachers unions don't think parents have a right to know what their kids are being taught. That is a Marxist mentality where the state believes they own the kids and you don't. And we've seen far too much of this, and it's time that America started to at least be aware of the problem and then start to take it back and start to take the country back and recognize what they need to do. And if you read the book, it's all in there, Crimes Against America.
Lastly, did you at any point, and you've seen the worst of it as a judge, you see in prosecutor, you see the worst of society come into a courtroom, did you ever think the country would lose its foundation so markedly?
Well, you know, I never did. You know, when I went into court, I fought on behalf of the crime victim from a criminal. I never thought that I would see America as a nation be the victim of a crime. And that's what the book is all about. We've got leftists.
Well, I think we dropped the call. The judge apparently was moving, as you could hear in the background. All right, we will leave that there. Judge Jeanine Pirro joined us live. Crimes Against America, the book. JudgeJBook.com is the website where you can get signed copies. JudgeJBook.com. It's from Winning Team Publishing. You get it wherever you get your good books. Crimes Against America, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and she joined us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. We'll take a break and come back in a moment. From the Liberty University studio, this is the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. Go to the live show blog at toddstarnes.com. You can click on the link to vote in the poll question I have here at my radio station about the chance that Kevin McCarthy will still be speaker as of Independence Day. And to weigh in, Charles is listening on the great News Talk WSIC. Charles, thanks so much for taking the time. Supporting Kevin McCarthy at this point, sir, are you?
Absolutely not. I tell you, Jeff, I feel so betrayed right now, like a lot of Republican voters. As angry as I've been at Joe Biden and the Democrats and these radical socialists, I think I'm angrier now at Kevin McCarthy because for the last month, ever since they announced this debt, you know, passed this bill, you know, he said that it's going to be $1.5 trillion 1 year, and we're going to get rid of these IRS agents and this and that. And Jeff, I believed him, and I think a lot of other people did. And then only to find out that you go in there and there's no spending caps, there's still going to be 85,000 IRS agents. You get nothing, and Joe Biden gets everything. And then finding out that you cut a deal with Hakeem Jeffries, and then it's even been confirmed, you know, by the Freedom Caucus members that, you know, were part of that conversation, and that Kevin McCarthy, it was his idea to push it out, not have another suspend the debt to 2025 so it would weaken us, weaken the Republican Party. I mean, to me, that is just political treason. And I think one of the members of the Freedom House should stand up today. I know if I was in there, that's exactly what I would do, and demand that have a vote that Kevin McCarthy vacate the chair. Because he doesn't deserve to be the Speaker of the House. He's betrayed the people that put trust in him. And he needs to be gone because he's going to destroy the Republican Party in 2024 because people are going to stay home. Because they're so fed up with this kind of backstabbing.
So who would take it? I'm not against anything you just said, but who would be in line? Because if you get rid of McCarthy, you got to replace him with somebody.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you who comes to mind. Jim Banks of Indiana. That's somebody. Matt Gaetz. Anybody but Kevin McCarthy right now. I mean, to stab your caucus in the back like this, I mean, he is resigning for 10 years. Jeff, what they just did, this $4 trillion more in spending, borrowing, it's going to be inflationary. It's going to cause stagflation. And it is going to create economic misery for millions of Americans going forward. But Jim Banks is somebody, I don't know.
Charles, I appreciate we're up against the break. I appreciate it. Hey, Mitch McConnell thought it was a great bill. Oh, wait, that probably didn't help. Charles, thank you so much for calling in. We are up against the top of the hour. We will continue this conversation with you on the other side. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number two of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. Coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from my home base in the free state of Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo. Pleasure to be sitting in the Liberty University studio today talking with you. Todd is at the National Talkers Magazine Conference in New York representing this program and the Mighty 990, his station in Memphis. And so he's working on business today. This is no vacation. No. This is not an early out for a weekend for Mr. Starnes, but it gives me a chance to talk with you, and I always appreciate that. In the spirit of Open Line Friday, give us a call at 844-747-8868. That's how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation in the Liberty University studio. It's 844-747-8868. Plenty of time for your calls this hour. In our next hour, it's back-to-back-to-back guests. Attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick, Robert Bork Jr., and Tennessee U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. So I'll get a chance to thank her for voting no on the so-called Fiscal Responsibility Act. In our last hour, we were talking about this act and what will soon become law and the fact that the Republicans, basically Republican leadership in the House, and that's in air quotes, basically sold us out. And I'm going to finish the analogy I was trying to draw in the last hour where I was saying, remember Charlie Brown and Lucy would pull the football away from Charlie Brown. And your first thought is the Democrats suckered Kevin McCarthy and he's Charlie Brown. I'm beginning to think that the Uniparty is in control and we're Charlie Brown because we keep falling for it. The caller we had at the end of the last hour, Charles calling in, said, you know, I feel betrayed because I believed Kevin McCarthy. And this is the big issue, folks. We keep believing these people who keep letting us down. We're Charlie Brown. And at what point are we going to say, you can hold that football all day, Lucy, but I'm not kicking it. I'm not falling for this again. Look at what I call the expectation game. You had Joe Biden getting out there and at every turn saying, there is no negotiation, clean bill, debt ceiling increase, I will not negotiate. Gets his supporters all fired up. Yeah, he's not going to negotiate. He's tough. What do you mean that he's senile? Oh, he's tough. Meanwhile, you've got Kevin McCarthy pulling in all sorts of favors to pass a bill in the U.S. House that contained all manner of provisions that was hard enough to get enough Republicans across the finish line, but they did it. And instead of just simply insisting that the Senate take up that bill and vote it up or down, instead he started bargaining against himself and giving things away. So they passed the bill in the House and got everybody all excited about, there's our line in the sand, by gum, we passed a piece of legislation. Now it's up to the Senate. And instead, nope, let's just cave. It's the expectation game. We expected the people who pounded their chest and pounded the podium saying it was going to be a certain way, we expected them on both sides to carry through, and they didn't. Now, the question is, are we just going to let them get away with that? You got folks on the left howling mad because of a tiny little increase on work requirements for able-bodied individual getting food stamps and forms of cash welfare. It used to be that if you were between the ages of 18 and 49, you had to have some work requirement. Now they've made it 18 to 54. That's not a big deal, given that life expectancies keep going up. All right? I mean, it's the fact that you say, well, you've got to work till you're 54. Well, that's not that old to get the free government benefits. Folks on the left thought it was the end of the world. Folks on the left couldn't believe that Biden was negotiating about anything. Why can't they believe it? Because he said he wasn't going to. Meanwhile, a lot of you folks out there are saying, this bill that they passed is horrible. What happened to the other bill? Oh, well, you know, divided government and all. No, I don't know. What I know is that there is a ruling class in Washington whose number one goal, as I've said before, once they get elected, is to get reelected, and that's what dominates. The speed with which this was handled, especially, I mean, I thought when I was going to come on the air today, we'd be talking about the Senate getting ready to vote. No, no, let's get this through last night. Get it done at, 9, 10 o'clock, when most people were busy with other things, like actually having a life. Really ought to do that, where it's like, if you're going to conduct the nation's business in late hours, there should be a time limit. There should just be a time limit. I'm sorry, it's after 7 o'clock. Do it in full daylight, or don't do it at all. Because that kind of stuff doesn't work out, does it? Oh, it works out for those in power. Again, whole host of Republicans with news releases talking about how horrible government spending is, as they voted for what could be a $4 trillion debt increase in 19 months. $4 trillion more in 19 months, a year and a half. That's staggering. And this could not have happened without Republicans affirmatively voting for it, not just acquiescing, but affirmatively voting for it. Remember, in the House, more Democrats voted for this, quote, Fiscal Responsibility Act than Republicans voted for it. It's the deal the Speaker brokered, and yet more Democrats voted for it than Republicans. What does that tell you? Now let's go over to the U.S. Senate. There are 49 Republicans, 48 Democrats, and 3 independents. So every time you hear about the Democrats having the majority, yeah, all 3 of those independents have to caucus with the Democrats. So let's keep some of this in mind, how the numbers actually play out, before we just start surrendering to this 51-49 majority. But let's play along. 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans. 5 of those Democrats or independents who caucus with Democrats voted no. 5 U.S. senators who have D or I by their name voted no. This needed 60 in order to pass. That meant you had to get at least 11 Republicans. Well, it's more than that. You had to get 14 Republicans to get to 60 for the cloture vote. Instead, 17 Republican senators said, sure, we love this bill, we'll vote for it, or we really don't like the bill, but we have to prevent defaulting on debt. Defaulting on debt by June 1st. Oh, wait, no, really, it's June 5th. Oh, you might not have it done by June 5th. Okay, it's June 8th. Oh, wait, we do have all those quarterly estimates from self-employed persons coming in. The idea of the rush to get it done by a certain date was a complete fiction created by Democrats, created by the Treasury Secretary in the White House. Never mind the fact that you don't really default on your debt according to the 14th Amendment, but let's not get too deep into this. Five Democrat U.S. senators were not in favor. This only passed because of Republicans in the Senate providing the margin of victory and Democrats in the House providing margin of victory. Now, you might say, well, there, that's the definition of bipartisanship. Is it? Or is it the definition of a uniparty that has its own interests in mind as opposed to yours and mine? I asked a financial expert today on my radio program in Iowa, was this a good deal for Americans? And he said, well, absolutely, because you can't default on the debt. All right, I'll play along with that. But then don't take such a strident stand, frankly, either of you, either side, don't take such a strident stand because you're bound to cave and we're bound to be disappointed. Be realistic from the start. All either party did was draw lines in the sand that were far apart so they could go and, again, preen and pose for the TV cameras and, oh, by the way, send fundraising letters out. Don't know how many emails I got asking for money to help keep the fight going when they knew all along they were going to cave. So if you're one of those who says, I keep calling, but I can't get through. They won't take my call. I try to get to staffers. I try to tell them how I feel. Well, tell them. Tell them at every town meeting. Tell them in phone calls. Tell them in emails. Tell them at the ballot box. It's the only way to get any of this changed. Because I don't want to be a downer on a Friday going into a nice summertime weekend, first weekend of June, but sure feels like they're all in it together. They're all Lucy pulling away the football. And we are Charlie Brown falling for it time and time again and landing with a resounding thud on the ground. And I would suggest to you that is no way to be. 844-747-8868. Let me know what you think. In the spirit of Open Line Friday, we'll talk about whatever you have in mind from the Liberty University studio. 844-747-8868. We'll continue in just a moment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thank you so much for being along on this edition of the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio. Guests on the Todd Starns radio program join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And based on everything we've been talking about so far today and will continue talking about for the next 90 minutes or more, I mean, you know this, that now more than ever, we got to work together. We've got to support companies and organizations that share our values in addition to this political stuff. Deal with people who are of like mind. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, so they not only share our beliefs, they actually do something about it. What? Somebody does something they say they will do. Yeah, they do. For example, Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. Great time. Start of a new month now. Might as well switch to Patriot Mobile. You'll be glad you did. But when you switch to Patriot Mobile, use promo code Todd to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers other carriers use, with plans to fit any budget along with great discounts for our wonderful veteran and first responder heroes as well as multi-line users. So here's what you do. Switching is easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or call their U.S.-based customer service team, thank you very much, at 972-PATRIOT. special discount, free Premier activation, but you have to use promo code Todd. For more deals, go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or call 972-PATRIOT. Say again, that's 972-PATRIOT. Our phone number in the Liberty University studio is 844-747-8868. That is the number that John called from his home base there in Statesville, North Carolina. John, thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein here. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Jeff, for taking my call. Sure. I just wanted to say I've listened to some of your previous callers, and everybody has some great ideas about what should be done. But the reality is, Jeff, nothing is going to be done. They knew Kevin McCarthy when they put him in the position he was in. He knew what he was going to do when he went in the office with the president to discuss it. And all the Republicans knew that as well.
Yes.
You know, and he's going to be like a Pelosi. He's going to be the speaker as long as he wants to be the speaker. The whole town is about money, and I believe that Kevin McCarthy's just a little bit wealthier now than he was before that meeting.
See, here's the problem I have with McCarthy, and I want to get your thoughts on it, John, so stay on the line. But I said this before the speaker vote. I don't know Representative McCarthy. Never met him, never talked to him, never talked to him on the radio. But it seems to me that his goal was to become Speaker of the House. It was not to do this policy action, that policy action, whatever. His goal was to get the job. And once he got the job, John, he doesn't know what to do with it, and he didn't really care because he doesn't have the same agenda. Am I off base in saying that his victory has already come, and now it's just a matter of how long to hold the gavel for the pictures?
No, you're spot on. His job, his goal was to get the job. It's power. That's what Washington is. Get a little more power, and don't. The future is going to be. You have seen the future is going to be continuously kowtowing to the Biden.
Well, and certainly they've gotten enough money from foreign actors in order to, I'm sorry, allegedly. By the way, saying allegedly doesn't help in a libel case. I can tell you that as a lawyer, but okay, allegedly. I mean, the money's just flowing all over the place, and so how are we going to expect anything any different? It's a sad thing. All right, so since they all knew this was going to be the situation, John, what should they do now? What should members who are in that body do now? You keep them or dump them?
Well, you see, what they should do, Jeff, and what they are going to do are two different things.
Yes.
The Republicans are weak-kneed. They're once again, they're not going to do anything except talk about what they should do.
It's a fair point. No, you're right.
Country boy.
Yeah, but we need more country boys. Come on now. You got common sense. That's lacking up the road from you there in D.C. John, thanks for calling in. Have an excellent weekend there in North Carolina. I appreciate you calling in to the Todd Starnes Show. 844-747-8868. You know, one of the things I've noticed with you folks when you call in, you're very humble, right? You say things like, well, I don't know about much about politics, or I just have this job, or, you know, I'm just a country boy, or I'm just a kid from the Midwest. Hey, guess what? That's what built the country. That common sense attitude. Do not for a second, and I know we joke about that, right? Oh, well, you know, what do I know? I'm just sitting here in the Midwest. Well, guess what? You know a lot about what's going on, and you can smell a rat. So the BS detector, I think I can say BS on the radio, I just did. BS detector is up. So, you know what's going on. So let's claim the power and let's do something about it. Let's vote them out. Let's hold them accountable. Let's take interest in it, because that is the only hope we have. If every one of us grabs a little dose of confidence and points out these common sense solutions, we can still claw it back. That's the new phrase. Did you hear that? Claw it back, like the COVID money. We can claw it back, but we have to do it together. Stay tuned. Back after the break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Josh and Ben are handling things there at the flagship, the Mighty 990, and rocking out to a little Doobie Brothers on a Friday. That's good stuff. Miss Grace has also scheduled three wonderful guests to join us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in the next hour. So we look forward to all of that. We look forward to your continued calls at 844-747-8868 as we continue from the Liberty University studio. I want to go to that 844-747-8868 line and talk with Pat in North Carolina. And this will be interesting to see what you think of the coverage of Governor DeSantis and President Trump in Iowa, where I am this week. Pat, thanks for joining the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you, Jeff?
I am tremendous. Good to talk to you.
I talked to you once before. I think you're great. You do a really good job. Thank you for that.
You're very kind.
Let me say something to you. You know, when I hear DeSantis talk, he's saying, I'm going to build a wall, I'm going to get rid of cartels. What does that sound like?
Well, it sounds like the guy who had the job, who he's trying to emulate, right?
He's running on Trump's policies.
Well, that's his whole thing, is that he's Trump without the drama, is what he's trying to claim.
But
are
you
buying it?
Well, you know what? To me, I'm Trump all the way. I'm not Judas. I'm not jumping off the Titanic. Okay,
sure.
I am staying with Trump because you know what? I think Trump did a very good job, and whatever happened in 2020, you know what? I really believe just let it go, and I think it was meant for a reason because I think what's going to happen here, Jeff. I think 2020 was meant for Biden to win because I think all the garbage is going to come out about this family.
Well, there's plenty to come out if only we get the fair hearing on this stuff.
The Republicans that walk the walk but don't do the talk.
Now, you said you're Trump all the way, and I respect that. Here's what I heard a lot from people in my state of Iowa. And again, this is where the whole thing starts. Governor DeSantis was here for a couple of days. President Trump overlapped by a day. DeSantis was actually on my radio program in Iowa, so I got to talk to him by phone in between stops. But I heard a lot of people in my state say, we love Trump. We thought he did a tremendous job, but we want to hear what this guy has to say. Does that make sense to you?
He's saying the same thing as Donald Trump.
Okay, so if that's the case, do you see any reason? This is what DeSantis says, and it's what he said to me. Because I said, well, you know, you're trying to be Trump without the drama. Trump's still in the race. And he said, look, we need somebody who can be in there and have the ability to be there for 8 years. Is that what's most important, to have somebody, the same guy there, same gal, for 8 years, or is it more important to have the best candidate available at a given time?
I really believe that Trump should have had the 8 years. And I still think that, you know, I'm just saying that there's a reason for everything, and I believe the 2020 thing was... you know what, with the COVID and with everything, I believe, Jeff, the COVID, that was another thing that was, I believe God works in mysterious ways. If we didn't have the COVID, we wouldn't know about all this transgender stuff. Am I right?
Sure, absolutely. So, well, you wouldn't know about what was being taught in schools. You wouldn't know about the indoctrination.
There's a reason for everything. There's a reason why Joe Biden won that race. There's a reason for it. And it's now, you know what? It's all going to backfire. I really believe it's going to backfire on the Biden. I'm sorry. And yesterday, when this guy fell, and I'm sorry. You know what? I don't want nobody. I don't wish that on nobody. I'm glad he's not hurt because, you know, he could have really hurt himself.
Sure.
But, and then you know who we have to deal with.
I say a prayer for the health of Joe Biden every night, and I think we all should, because look at the alternative.
Exactly. So what I'm saying about DeSantis, you got there. But you know what I'm saying about DeSantis, though? I believe that when I heard him saying that, we got to build the wall, and I'm thinking, my God, he's a younger Trump.
Sure. And that's the claim to fame. His claim is that it is now his time. Again, when I asked him the question about was it too soon? Because I've heard this from a lot of people. They like DeSantis, but they think it's too soon for a variety of factors. And he said it's nobody's turn. It's the right candidate at the right time. But here's the thing, Pat, that I'm having a little problem, and I'm just not sure if people are hearing it the same way across the country. Because DeSantis, when he came to Iowa, was really trumpeting his six-week abortion bill, the one that he signed. But he doesn't talk about it when he goes to New Hampshire. And, it's sort of like the message changes depending on where he goes. I don't know that I trust that. That gives me, when you're changing your stump speech and telling people what you think they want to hear, that causes me some concern.
Yes, he's up and down about a lot of things. And I'm telling you, I don't think he's ready yet. And I'll be honest with you, don't get me wrong, I like him. I think he does great for Florida. But we're not talking about Florida. We're talking about taking over the whole world here.
Oh, absolutely right. Absolutely. Hey, Pat, it was so good for you to call in. I appreciate the kind words and the excellent conversation.
You, Jeff, and you do a great job. God bless.
Well, thank you, and the same to you. And I really do appreciate the call that came in at 844-747-8868. I'm looking up something that I'm not sure about this. Greta Van Susteren just tweeted her support for Laura Ingraham and sorry that she got fired. Has anybody heard that Laura Ingraham got fired from Fox? I mean, this was rumored some time ago that they might be really shaking things up. Do I trust what Greta Van Susteren is tweeting about people at Fox? I don't know. Let me just repeat it to you. Maybe you don't care. As far as I'm concerned, you don't need television. All you need is radio. Okay, but, Geraldo. Boy, I'm using a lot of sources today, aren't I? Greta and Geraldo. Geraldo says, woke up to hear my colleague and friend, Laura Ingle is out at Fox. Oh, that's where I'm getting confused. Well, yeah, what's wrong with her? Oh, never mind. Forget the last 30 seconds. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, they're just cutting people right and left there. Don't know why you'd get rid of Laura Ingle. She was a good reporter. Maybe that's why they got rid of her. Maybe she can get a job at Newsmax. Lots of others have. It's a good place to go. I like Real America's Voice as well. But, anyway. 844-747-8868. I don't know. You don't need TV. You just don't need TV. Because look what they've done. I mean, this is the medium. And I'll tell you, this is somebody who has loved radio and television. I still do some television. Actually was on CNN yesterday. To talk about the Iowa caucuses, because I believe in a variety of viewpoints. I believe in let's hear a lot of people, because then you're smart enough as an audience member to separate the good stuff from the bad. But if the deck is rigged and you can't talk about certain people or you can't talk about certain topics, well, that's just ridiculous. And good old radio just seems to be the place where we can have these conversations still, and that's a necessary thing. So, in any event, 844-747-8868 is how you can reach the program and join us in the conversation. By the way, Grace put this on the show, blog at toddstarns.com. It's also on my station website, kxel.com. We do a poll question every day here at the radio station. And my question today is, what's the chance Kevin McCarthy is still Speaker of the House by Independence Day? Go ahead and weigh in. Or call us and let us know what you think. Because the problem is, if McCarthy is out, who do you get? And he sure acted rather snippy when asked about that prospect the other day. By the way, Governor DeSantis got a little snippy on the campaign trail in New Hampshire. As I heard the story, he was doing an event and he did not take audience questions. For whatever reason, and they're not often set up, these events, for audience questions. But then he was meeting individuals afterwards. You know, he just talked with people in the crowd, and but he didn't take formal questions from the audience. And a reporter asked him about it, and I guess he got kind of snippy with the reporter about. So this is one of the problems. You got to have a thick skin in this game. By the way, to take it back to a Trump versus Biden comparison, President Trump just issued a statement, video release, commemorating the 75th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. So there's your comparison. President Trump commemorates the 75th anniversary of the founding of Israel. Meanwhile, the First Lady is on a trip to the Middle East and skipped Israel. She's in Egypt today, but apparently skipped the chance to go to Israel. Wow, that's a change. That's a change in the Democrat Party. You really need these days to get rid of labels and get rid of what used to be. Because you've got the Republican Trump commemorating Israel's founding as the Democrat First Lady snubs Israel to go to Egypt and other countries in the region. One thing is different, by the way, from the last time I was here on this program, which was just a few weeks ago. But one thing is different, and that is I bought a MyPillow 2.0. I have told you before, and I don't get anything for saying this, this is the honest truth. I used to have a lot of trouble sleeping. My wife said, you know, let's try this MyPillow. We hear about it on radio and TV. And I said, ah, pillow's a pillow. She bought a MyPillow for me, and oh my gosh, the world changed. No neck ache, no back ache, go right to sleep. I am sold. And that's why when MyPillow 2.0 came out, hey, let's give this a try. So not only do I now have a MyPillow 2.0, but I have the Giza sheets as well. I'm in. I am all in. The technology when Mike invented MyPillow served us very well for some 20 years. Well, now it's even better. Still has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, but now that is within a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0. Now, I never was one of those that flipped the pillow over to find a cool side. But the first night I got it, I woke up in the night and then just kind of shifted a little bit, and I realized that it was cool. Where I had put my head down was now cool. Never thought of such a thing, never thought it was a problem, but I saw an immediate benefit. This MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and yes, coolest pillow that you'll ever own. MyPillow 2.0 is a buy one, get one free offer, but only if you use promo code STARNS. So you really should do this. I am saying, I graduated from MyPillow to MyPillow 2.0 and was glad of it. The MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology, 100% made in the USA. It's got a 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square, and that's how you get the buy one, get one free offer. But you have to enter promo code STARNS. Want to use the phone? Talk to a human being? You can do that. Call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Get your MyPillow 2.0. Use that promo code STARNS. More from the Liberty University studio in a moment. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Got about 4 minutes before the top of the hour and two callers. Let's see how I make this math work. Tom, you're joining us from Gainesville, Georgia, listening to that excellent station WDUN. What's on your mind today, Tom?
You're doing a great job, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So what motivates me, and I hope will motivate others, every day I think about what do I want to see in 37 months and a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Do I want to see America in mourning, or do I want to see the celebration of the most blessed nation in history? And that would be July 4th, 2026, our 250th birthday. I am motivated by that as much as anything. We can talk about all the many issues, Afghanistan, the border, the budget, the culture, everything, but we want a reason to celebrate, which means we have to get the right people in office, which you've already been talking about, getting the right people in office, whatever that takes with you know, under the law, legally. But it's going to take a mighty effort, and we're going to have to ask our Creator to help us. If we don't do that first, sir, we're doomed. We have to go to Him first. He's the one who put this together for us. He's the one we need to seek wisdom and guidance from now. And I could just throw a shout out to the guy in Iowa who does the Freedom Rocks.
Yes.
I would love to do that.
This is an individual who has painted a huge rock, big boulder in essence, in each one of 99 counties. Honoring veterans, and they're known as Freedom Rocks, and it's inspirational as all get out. And boy, that's a worthy mission to pick up. And again, Tom, to your broad point, it's one nation under God for a reason, is it not, sir?
Absolutely. And if we don't hit both knees and look up, ask for forgiveness for all we've allowed to happen under in opposition to His teachings. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, he had 10 rules, and we couldn't get that right. So he sent his son. He said, here, you go down and sort this out. And he said, people, just do the first two rules. Love God, love your neighbor, and the rest will flow from that. We can't even do that. And what does the left do? The sinister left, the Latin word for left, Jeff, is sinister. That should tell us everything we need to know. What do they do? They complicate, confuse, create chaos, take control, and conquer us. That's what they're doing right now.
And we will stand up and fight it every day, as you have suggested, Tom. Thanks for the call from Georgia. Doug is calling in from Morrisville, North Carolina. I got about a minute, and it is yours, Doug.
Yeah, basically what I was calling about is everybody's calling Trump DeSantis and them battling and everything. I think with the evil swamp that's in D.C., I think they need to team up, and we could get 4 years of Trump. He's been there. He's been president. He knows he can go in there, you know, knowing what to do. DeSantis can, you know, train under him, let's say, and he could be in there for 12 years.
It is the reason why so many of us thought that DeSantis would not actually run, is so that he could, and Trump would have to change his residence. The rules in the Electoral College say you can... the president and vice president cannot be from the same state. That's why Dick Cheney moved from Texas back to Wyoming in order to run with W. It just would make so much sense in one respect, but I'm afraid. 10-second answer from you, Doug. Do you think there's already too much bad blood for that to happen?
I would hope not, because I think they both are for this country and
yep.
fixing it, and I think they need to get together.
I think that's a great idea, Doug, and a great way to end hour number two of this Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Hour three coming up. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Stay tuned.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Friday edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Program, coast to coast on more than 140 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at ToddStarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today from my home base in the free state of Iowa. News Talk 1540 KXEL, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America, with accurate news and reasonable views. Good to be here in the Liberty University studio. Good to talk with you. We have a little time for callers this hour. See if we can sneak you in at 844-747-8868. Todd is away today at the Talkers Magazine Conference representing this show and Starnes Media Group and the Mighty 990 in Memphis. And so it's my privilege to be able to talk with you. We've received word that President Biden will address the nation from the Oval Office tonight, the first time he has spoken to the country from that setting. And presumably he'll either during that address sign this debt ceiling bill, or we'll talk about it, having already signed it. So once again, if you had no plans for tonight, President Biden will be speaking from the Oval Office. If that is not to your fancy, maybe you'd like to read a good book. And that transition means we're going now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. A return guest to this program, she is Dr. Wendy Patrick. Dr. Patrick, good of you to join us again. How are you?
Hey, it's always a pleasure to join you.
We have talked with you in your role as an attorney and a national news analyst on this program before, but you are also the author of multiple books, and the brand new one is called Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. And again, we know of your background to some degree, but tell folks about the parts of your background that led to creating this book.
No, it's a great question, Jeff, and I tell you, I don't know that many of our listeners would love to spend their Friday night listening to the debt ceiling discussion. I know that's exciting and super sexy to people like you and me, but I think that, you know, other people might be doing other things. Nonetheless, if you are so inclined to relax, and why not stay off the streets, especially late at night, a good book is always a great idea to curl up with. And my latest book is called Why Bad Looks Good. So right away, you know it's not boring. And right away, you know it's practical. I mean, how many of us haven't made a bad decision based on somebody looking good, sounding good, making us feel good? I mean, my goodness, these are the types of things that cause us to trade in our reading glasses for rose-colored glasses, and then all the red flags become muted, and then it's downhill from there. But I wrote this most recent book. It's got a biblical bent. In other words, it's filled with scripture that stands for all of these warnings we have on how to improve our life, how to, you know, look for the red flags and the telltale signs that somebody is or isn't a good person. And I wrote it to answer your question because in the almost 30 years I've been prosecuting crime and working with victims, I have seen the same pattern over and over. Bad people looking good, both on and offline, in person and on paper, you know, that charm and disarm, seduction of a silver tongue, they've caused crime victims to make poor choices. And that kind of really generated this idea for a new book. And it's got 26 chapters, but I'll tell you, Jeff, I had a hard time narrowing it down because there are just so many different areas that bad can look good to all of us.
And again, from an educational standpoint, your various interests and degrees have merged nicely in this combination.
Yeah, you know, my law degree, I got that. I'm not going to say how old I am or how many years ago that was, unless your listeners do the math. But let's just say my midlife crisis, about 15 years into my career as a prosecutor, wasn't buying a new car. It was going back to school and earning new degrees. And one of those was in a master in divinity. One was a PhD in psychology. A PhD in theology, which I then turned into going to be formally ordained. But my thesis was on the psychology of attraction, which, as you can tell, ties right into this book. It's mm-hmm. also the title of the Psychology Today article that, as you know, I've been writing for about 10 years. I have almost 700 articles there. I know you're like, get a life. See, this is why I don't go out on Friday nights. I stay home and I write or I read or something. But this is what was really created the impetus. And being I won't call myself a theologian. I'll just call myself a Christian. Anybody that reads the Bible knows it is filled with wisdom. I mean, there are Proverbs and Psalms and Scripture that warn us on all kinds of different things, from money to marriage, health to happiness, gossip to greed. It is all in there. Jeff, every time I'm in a bookstore and I see all these people crowded around in the self-help aisle, I almost think, I don't know what you guys are looking for, but if you're looking how to improve your life, I can tell you what book to read, the world's bestseller, and it's not in the self-help aisle, although it should be, and that, of course, is the Bible.
Wendy Patrick is our guest. Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship, the brand new book. Get it wherever you get your good book. She's also online at wendypatrickphd.com, and I'm not going to tell you when I graduated from law school either, but it was more years ago than you. So we'll just keep all of this between us. But do you find that people, I guess I'm going to say, have a divider plate? In other words, you should live your faith, and many people do, and I'm not dismissing that, but they don't make the connection, perhaps, between the bestseller of all time and individual situations in their lives, whereas perhaps this book helps people make connections?
Oh, Jeff, I couldn't have said it any better than that. That's exactly right. I have so many secular friends that are curious about Christianity and my faith, and they say, you know, the Bible is too thick, and there's no way I can get through it. Well, guess what? This book indexes it and narrows it down to 26 chapters. And listen to some of the titles: The Deception of Public Perception, When Bad Feels Good, When Bad Sounds Good, When Lust Looks Like Love, When Frenemies Look Like Friends. I mean, right away you can tell these are really interesting chapters, and they're filled with scripture that back up the way to make good choices in all of these areas. The rapture of riches. How many times have we read about a lottery winner going broke or committing suicide? I mean, there are so many different areas that, you know, you don't have to think about reading the Bible cover to cover. That's a tough task even for Christians. Not that we don't try, but you know, as time goes on, sometimes the wheels come off the train. This is a way to get people interested in the fact that biblical wisdom is second to none. I mean, this is where it's at. And these are really good practical suggestions. So that's one of the reasons that I chose to write this. It's actually on the heels of a book I wrote a couple years ago called Red Flags, and then a couple years before that, Reading People. So it's kind of all in the vein of really furthering this idea of how can we make wise choices. But this one is just my favorite thus far, because it really incorporates the faith analysis into how can you improve your life. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, and where better to go than to examine the concept of faith? This book has been out now for, I guess, right at 2 months. So what's been the reaction from people who have picked up and read a copy of Why Bad Looks Good?
Oh, a very positive reaction. I get a lot of feedback on really sort of the novelty of the approach, and then also in the scripture selection. And there's just so much scripture on each of these, you know, I mean, it's hard to choose, but there's just so many different chapters, something for everyone. And, you know, it was really humbling to write, to remind myself of how much wisdom the Lord has given us in all of these areas, and how, you know, even looking at my own life, I think, gosh, how can I forget about that scripture? Oh, yeah, look at this. And it's just sort of a reminder that there is a place to go for easy access to the inspiration and wisdom we need to make better choices in all of these areas. And, Jeff, I want to say that I'm not a downer. I'm not a naysayer. If anything, I'm an optimist, probably a little more than I should be is what I'm told. But I ended the book in that vein, envisioning a bright future, and it reflects the reality that some people are just as good as they look. I say be vigilant for red flags, but don't miss the green lights. Sometimes there are people out there that just adore, love, affirm, validate you because they authentically care for you exactly the way you are.
This book, Why Bad Looks Good, to some degree is to help the reader in their perception of people. But I'm guessing in that respect, it's also a good self-help book, because I'm guessing there are folks who will read a chapter and say, wow, that sounds so familiar, it's like I'm looking in a mirror. I mean, do people learn a lot about themselves, not just in terms of how they perceive the world, but maybe it helps them understand themselves better?
Not only that, I think that's a great observation. And, you know, leave it to you to find an angle that I wish I'd included within a chapter, because I love that observation, Jeff. That's exactly right. There's lots of material in here that explains why we can't expect others to view us in a certain way simply because of the length of our resume, of the credentials behind our name. You know, it's like sometimes somebody hands me a business card at a cocktail party, and there's all these like letters and numbers after their name, and I don't know what any of it means, but it sure looks impressive. It looks like they've done a lot. But the credentials do not equal character. And sometimes when we expect to be treated a certain way simply because of who we are, how much money we have, the way we dress, that's not fair if we've got somebody on the other side that actually hasn't traded in their reading glasses for rose-colored glasses and is looking at us objectively as everyone should. Instead, the best way, according to the scripture cited in this book, to make a great impression is the biblical way of being kind and compassionate and generous and not putting other people down and being a good friend, not gossiping. I mean, all the kinds of things that we know instinctively, but sometimes we think, well, wait a minute, you know, if I dress the part, look the part, have the right business cards, have the right credentials, I've got it made in the shade. But that ends up not being true, at least not in the long run, because we're becoming more discerning as a society. And in the internet age, people can trust, then verify.
Well, there you go. There's the idea for the next book. Just take that idea that instead of making it a chapter in this book, now you got your next book. Now you got something
there
to do
go,
this
Jeff.
Weekend.
Leave it to you. There you go.
Leave it to me, indeed. Leave it to Dr. Wendy Patrick to come up with excellent observations on all manner of things, including, in particular, this new book, Why Bad Looks Good, Biblical Wisdom to Make Smart Choices in Life, Love, and Friendship. Congratulations on the book. Thanks for taking time to share information about it with us today, and have an excellent weekend.
You as well.
Wendy Patrick, Wendy Patrick, PhD, is her website. She's on the Twitter machine at Wendy Patrick, PhD. And again, the book is called Why Bad Looks Good, the author, Wendy Patrick. And she joined us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're in the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday. We'll take your calls in the next segment. 844-747-8868. Still to come this hour, Robert Bork Jr. and Tennessee U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Stay close. Jeff in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday. 844-747-8868 is the number if you'd like to join us. We have a little time for calls now and then guests in our next half hour. You can always listen to this program online, toddstarns.com. That's the live stream. But if you miss part of the program, want to hear it again, any of those things, go to toddstarns.com. Afterwards, after the computer does its magic, a podcast appears. It's the Toddcast podcast, and you can get it by the link at toddstarns.com. That allows you to listen to today's program again, if you're so inclined, our interview with Judge Jeanine Pirro in the first hour of the program, or if you missed part of the conversation just now with author and news analyst attorney Dr. Wendy Patrick about her new book, which is called Why Bad Looks Good. Well, you can do that again, and that's at toddstarns.com. I am online at totallyiowa.com, and that's where you can get links to the three different podcasts I do each day, including a commentary about affairs. We call it the Iowa Politics Report, but it covers much more than that. But since this is the center of the political universe for 6 or 8 months every 4 years, thanks to the presidential situation, well, you might want to dip into that. Feel free to subscribe, all free. You can follow me on the Twitter machine, Twitter and Getter and Instagram and Truth Social at Iowa Politics. That's where I am socially, at IOWA Politics. None of that Facebook stuff, thank you very much. Don't need any of that. I am here in what I call the Free State of Iowa. And I mention that because when Governor DeSantis comes to a campaign appearance, he talks about the great record in Florida. And some people are saying, well, that should really appeal to people in Iowa. Well, it does not in the way you might think, and here's why. Because Iowa has done all of that stuff, and sometimes sooner than Florida. We opened our schools sooner. We had a heartbeat bill passed before Florida. Held up by the courts, but you know, you get the idea. So the Florida miracle, in essence, well, we just sit here and say, yeah, we did that. And one of the things that was passed by the Iowa General Assembly, signed by the governor this year, was to allow education savings accounts. You can call them vouchers if you want, but finally, money follows the student. And so if a student leaves the public school, well, then the money can follow. And so that the families can afford a good private education. Here's why I'm bringing this up. The Students First Education Savings Account program in my state of Iowa went live at 8 o'clock Wednesday morning. In the first 48 hours, nearly 10,000 students had applied. 48 hours, 10,000 students had applied within the technology, within this online platform, so that they could have money put in an account that they could use for private education, tuition, textbooks, tutoring, etc. The system, the computer people who run this thing for the state, say that one application was submitted every 12 seconds in the first 24 hours. I'm going to repeat that because that's staggering to me. 10,000 in the first 2 days. One application submitted every 12 seconds in the first 24 hours. This was something that was desperately sought in my state, and it is a model that others have used, and we borrowed from others. I mean, it's, you know, we can be friendly about this, but there is a hunger out there to make sure that the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, have the tools necessary to maximize their potential and not fall for indoctrination by those who crave power and have a very different view of what it means to be successful in America. I hope this serves as an example for those in other states who are a bit more timid or just not had the vote yet. Because if it works in a rural state like mine, where you might have a hard time finding a physical private school, when they were trying to rebut all of this and saying that it's such a terrible thing, the reality is there were very few private schools, relatively speaking, and so the thought was maybe this won't have such a great impact. 10,000 students in 2 days in a state this size? That's pretty good impact. And it shows you that, again, the people know how to rule. Parents know how to parent. We do not need well-meaning or perverse, go either way, people in Washington and other big cities telling us how to live. So congratulations to the home team here. Robert Bork Jr. coming up after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday. Back in 1987, I was just entering my third year of law school at the University of Iowa, and so I was paying very close attention to things like the nomination of a Supreme Court justice. And later that fall, a real travesty took place where a well-respected legal scholar and jurist by the name of Robert Bork was denied his rightful, in my mind, seat on the court. Unfortunately, in my mind, that's what most of you know Robert Bork for. And there was so much more to it, including as a legal scholar. 45 years ago, a book called The Antitrust Paradox was released. It was re-released with a new introduction and foreword by Robert Bork Jr. a couple of years ago. Robert Bork Jr. joins us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to talk to you again, sir. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you?
I'm just great. Thanks for having me on.
Talk about the antitrust paradox as a body of work and why it is applicable to some of the issues we deal with today with regard to monopolistic practices, big tech, etc.
Well, my father wrote the antitrust paradox, published in 1978. It took on a century's worth of, or about 90 years worth of precedent in antitrust, thinking about antitrust that the left had been doing. The Supreme Court had ruled basically that big companies could be broken up, that competitors could intervene and sue because they were inefficient and weak competitors, and they could win. It made no sense to my father, and that's why he called it a paradox. The law, he thought, was not about that, but it was in fact about protecting the consumer. And so this term, the consumer welfare standard, was coined, and he wrote a book explaining his thinking about antitrust, and something that almost never happens happened. Somebody read the book and included his thinking in a case, in a brief to the Supreme Court, and a year after it was published, the Supreme Court said, that makes absolute sense. Now we understand antitrust law, what it's supposed to be about. and they included the consumer welfare standard in their opinion, in this case in 1979. So for the last 45 years, and there have been a number of cases and Supreme Court opinions and other court opinions since, the consumer welfare standard has been the essentially the operating system of antitrust, or if you will, competitive, or you know, law about competition, competition law. And why it's relevant now is that in that 45 years, that and other efforts by Republicans to reduce regulation, the burden of regulation, to free up, make markets freer, has really resulted in a huge explosion of innovation and job creation and wealth creation in this country. But the left doesn't like that. And so with the Biden administration coming in, they have tried to weaponize antitrust to block mergers, block acquisitions, block business activity that could be creating innovation and jobs at exactly the time we need it, as we sort of linger on the edge of a recession and in the post-pandemic era. So, you know, it's very important now because the left, Lina Khan at the FTC, Joe Biden as president, and of course the Democrats in the Senate and the House are all trying to restrict business activity. And I think it's having a very negative effect. And they're doing more than that. They really want to layer on so much regulation that I think they're going to end up, if they aren't stopped, fossilizing capitalism.
Because, again, this is not what was intended with the concept of protection for citizens. Protection for citizens did not mean that businesses could not combine, because, again, to your point, would you rather have two failing businesses that neither one can sustain themselves, much less innovate, or one efficient business that actually could serve the public better than those two failing businesses? Or am I misunderstanding?
No, that's certainly one scenario. But the, you know, the thing that that has gotten even conservatives wound up now about antitrust is this sense that there's something wrong with big tech, these big companies, that they are out there, you know, sort of lording over the economy. And I would say to them, if they can point to a case, a market, where a company has a monopoly power, dominates that market, and is using that market position unfairly, then they should, you know, I'm all for the government bringing cases, or even private parties bringing cases. But they haven't been able to make it stick. The FTC and the DOJ are just struggling to bring cases that, that the courts don't throw out. But the other thing, of course, is that a lot of conservatives, and I agree with them, are very upset about this censorship of conservative speech. But they think that antitrust is perhaps the way to go to fix that. It's not. Antitrust was not designed to talk about free speech. Section 230 is, if your listeners know what that is, it's the law that encompasses what the rights and responsibilities and protections for businesses like Google and Twitter and others have. And it was just reaffirmed by the Supreme Court. But there are other ways to fix it other than saying we're going to go in and bust these companies up into little pieces. And I should just point out, it's really important to understand, a company can be a monopoly. It's not illegal to be a monopoly. It's how you got it. Like, did you invent the better mousetrap? And what you do with it. So if you got it illegally, and then you use your market power to punish your competitors, other than just beat them in the marketplace, then you're ripe for a prosecution. But just being big is not illegal.
In about 60 seconds, is this a precedent-setting attempt by the government for more control and power in other areas? In other words, if they make something like this stick, then they've got, in essence, a loophole or a path, I should say, through which they could just drive a truck, right?
Yes, yes. You know, there is no, they're trying to change the law using the courts to do it by bringing cases about labor, about equity, about, you know, all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the consumer welfare standard, and hoping that some judge will say, you know, that makes sense to me, I'll rule it then. But the courts have been actually knocking down some of these crazy ideas that the left and the Biden administration are trying to bring to bear. And I'm hopeful that we'll get through the next couple of years and get into a new administration that brings and restores and protects what we're trying to do with antitrust law, with competition law, which is to put the consumer at the center of competition law and protect the consumer, and not to use it as a sledgehammer against big business, because the left doesn't like big business.
Mr. Bork, I appreciate the time today, and I appreciate your work in reissuing your father's great volume, The Antitrust Paradox, A Policy at War with Itself. Thanks for the time today, and keep speaking, if you would, sir.
I will. Thank you for having me on.
Robert Bork, Jr., and again, Judge Robert Bork's book, The Antitrust Paradox, A Policy at War with Itself. And Mr. Bork joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Couple of quick hits on the phone before we take a break and then talk to the senator. Betty, you're in North Carolina. Thanks for joining the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein here. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, I've tried three times to get through. I just wanted to find out why nobody has mentioned the 25th Amendment on Biden, because when Nancy Pelosi suggested it, they wanted it from Trump, and she said, "This, we're going to do this against Trump." Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether it's Biden or Kamala. If you invoke it, she comes. But then it will still be Obama pulling the purse strings. He has with Biden, and he will do it with Kamala. Why hasn't anybody mentioned this? Because obviously this man needs the 25th Amendment to get rid of him. He doesn't know what he's doing last night. Yeah.
No, I thank you for the question and the call. We're really tight on time, so let me answer that. Why is no one mentioning it? First, the ones on the Republican side don't want Kamala because, yes, she might still be controlled by Obama, but she might have a wild card streak to where she might go off and do even crazier things. See, Democrats don't want it because they've got the guy in charge that they can control. That's why they're not invoking the 25th Amendment, because, again, if you want to play it out, Obama's telling them not to. That's the short of it. Mike, you're calling in from Waterloo. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Give me a quick hit of what's on your mind today on this Friday.
Good afternoon, Jeff. Yes, I just want to say that I think the Republicans have been played again on this budget bill. I called my Congress lady and both my senators to vote no, and of course they all voted yes, and I think one of our senators has turned into a rhino. And I just fail to understand what's going through. It's like an alcoholic at an open bar. The more he drinks, the more he wants. And it's just the way it is in Washington, D.C.
Mike, that's an astute observation. Thank you much for calling in. Thank you for your service. I'm familiar with you from my work here in Iowa at KXCL, and I appreciate you calling in. We need to take a break. Senator Blackburn is on the other side. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd from the Liberty University studio. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back. Final segment of the week on the Todd Starn Show from the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today from the free state of Iowa. And joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Republican U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn from the state of Tennessee. Senator, good to talk to you again.
It is so good talking to you. Thank you for having me join you.
And on behalf of everyone who's called in and probably everyone listening, thank you for voting no on that bill. Tell us why you decided that was the best course of action.
Yes, there were a couple of things that were determining factors for me. And let me say this. I give Speaker McCarthy a lot of credit for getting something together and forcing Biden to the table and making him negotiate. He truly earned his speakership by doing this. The reason I voted no on the compromise version that came to us, number one, It does not set a dollar amount hike in the debt ceiling. It suspends the debt ceiling. And it suspends it through a date certain, which is January 1, 2025. That is at the end of the Biden presidency. That is during a lame duck. And what do you think is going to happen during that time? If it's the Democrats, they're going to push for a permanent suspension. And if it is the Republicans, then they're going to say, well, you're just trying to get a government shutdown. So we're better off by setting a dollar amount. You know, Jeff, it's kind of like that TV show where you win the chance to run through the grocery store and fill up the grocery cart with yes. everything you can possibly put in it for 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then the buzzer rings. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to go scrape as much stuff as you can into that cart. You're going to go get the most expensive things and put them in that cart and try to do it before the buzzer rings. That's what we're doing here. We're saying, have at it. You've got open spending until the buzzer rings. And I didn't like that. I also was concerned about the underfunding of the military. Very concerned about that in this era of great power competition with China. You look at the 87,000 IRS agents that are still there, and then you have to look at what is happening with the caps. They have that 1% cap, but two sections later in the bill, there is a provision that says the OMB director. Now, that is an executive branch appointment. The OMB director can suspend those caps without the consent of Congress. So those were my reasons for voting no. And I think now, you know, we wish the House well. We wish our country well. And it means that as the appropriations season begins, that the House members are going to have to make cuts. They need to make cuts, and I support them in making cuts in these appropriations bills that they're going to move forward with.
Well, again, thank you for the vote. We've got a couple of minutes, and I don't want to run too short here, but talk about this swampy thing concerning the head of the Veterans Affairs Department and the activities that you're learning that he was involved in as part of this Russian hoax.
Yeah, here's what we found out from the Durham report. Is that the current Secretary of Veterans Affairs, who was at, in 2016, he was Obama's chief of staff. DOJ and the Durham report placed him in the Situation Room in July of 2016 when they cooked up Russia collusion. So he was coming before us for a VA committee hearing, so I took the opportunity to ask him, you know, what was your participation in this? And he said he had forgotten about this. Well, we get tired of Democrats saying that they have forgotten or they do not recall. So I sent him a letter asking him to please define his participation in this. We do not want someone heading the agency that provides benefits and health care for our nation's veterans who participated in cooking up a plot that was to deceive the American people and to weaponize the federal government against a private citizen who was running for president of the United States. We are the United States. We do not do things like that. I think that he needs to come forward. He needs to explain himself. People that were involved in cooking up this plot with Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, Hillary Clinton and her campaign go out and hire somebody to come up with this dossier, hire a firm that tries to make it real and pushes it to the FBI. I mean, they were all in on this. So, no, he needs to come clean. I want to know if he was in meetings with the FBI, if he had further participation in this, what that participation was. He is a federal employee. He is being paid by the taxpayers. he needs to tell us what he did.
Senator, keep at it. I know you will, but much respect for doing this, and thanks for giving us the insight. We'll keep watching it. Have a good weekend.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican from the state of Tennessee, filling us in on yet another example of the swamp monsters and how nothing ever happens. Sad, 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 sad. Mr. Starnes, thank you for allowing me to sit behind the microphone. Ben, Josh, Grace, thank you for all your assistance and everybody there at Team Todd. The senator joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Glad of that you were along with us as well. Have a respectful, safe, and wonderful weekend. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.